Thank you for the witness of the new birth and the new life that you give us through baptism, and the reminder for all of us of the grace that we are to live into each and every day. So we pray that your word now would speak to us, prepare us to give a faithful response. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Those words we just heard in our gospel reading, that the Father speaks over Jesus as the Holy Spirit descends upon him at his baptism, those words are also spoken over us at our baptism. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. When we come to baptism, we take on that new identity as a beloved son or daughter of our Father, who is God. It's a new thing that we're entering into, a new life that we're entering into. Once we were not God's people, now we are God's people. Once we were orphaned and alone, now we are part of God's family. As our 2 Corinthians reading says, we are a new creation in Christ through our baptisms. So these are the words, this is the identity that we're taking on in our baptism, that each one of us who have been baptized own and live into in our Christian life. And we hear God speaking these words over us. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And I'm well pleased with you. I think many of the problems in our own souls would dissipate and go away if we heard those words spoken over us with clarity each and every day, and if we knew the truth of that. But today we're going to have the privilege of seeing five transformations, five rebirths into a new life, five children who are sealed with the covenant promise of Christ by the Holy Spirit and water. What a miracle. What a blessing we get to participate in today. And as we come into a new situation, a new kind of life, it requires some boundaries around it, some promises that are made in order to help that new life flourish, to help us grow into that new life. When we come into new life in Christ, we make promises that ensure this new life is real to us. It's enduring and it's transformative for us. So when I got married, when my wife and I stood up there and we made promises to one another, right? We're entering into a new life together, and that life is guarded by and protected by the promises that we make to love and to cherish one another, to take care of one another, support one another in sickness and health, for better or worse, richer or poorer. That we're committed to one another. We promise, we vow to that. So these are promises that shape our lives, that define who we are, and make things like marriage what it's supposed to be. And the promises that are made in baptism are what shape us and form us. So something that Deacon Kelly has been teaching these kids in our baptism preparation class is that in our baptisms, God is making promises to us, and we make promises to him. So these kids have heard this, and they know this really well, but I want to go over these promises for all of us, just a reminder of what the promise is for each one of us who live the baptized life of Christ, the promises that guard and shape us. So you guys already know this, but I'm going to teach the rest of the church for just a few minutes. I'm going to try to go through it quickly for us so we can get to the good stuff of baptism this morning. But first, I want to think about God's promises to us in baptism. And these are the promises that really matter, the promises that really have weight, because they do not fail. What God promises, he will deliver on every single time. He is good to his word. He is a man of his word, and he will do what he says. He will not fail. So when God promises something to you, you can know that it's true. You can know that it's going to be something that's true forever and never fail. So four things that God promises to us in baptism. He promises to forgive us of our sins. He promises to adopt us as his children. He promises to give us authority over evil powers and to bring us into the church, to belong to his church. So I'm going to go through these quickly. First, God promises forgiveness of our sins. And that's what baptism is. That's what the symbol of it is, this bath that we've talked about, the washing. That's the washing away of our sins and making us clean in God's sight. Our sins are forgiven in Christ through baptism. When we die with Christ and when we are raised with him, that symbol of baptism that's so important, he takes all of our sins upon himself, brings them to the cross where he paid the price for our sins. And we are forgiven. That's the heart of the good news of Christianity, that our sins are forgiven in Christ. And that's what baptism is for. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, when he was preaching at Pentecost, people were struck to the heart. They said, "What should we do?" He said, "You should be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins," because that's what baptism is for, ultimately. So we have this one-time event where our sins are washed away, when we're made clean and pure before God, and then we sin again, and then God forgives us again every single time we come to him. When we live our lives in Christ, when we're baptized, every time we sin, we can go back to Jesus and receive that forgiveness immediately, all the time. So God forgives us our sins. That's his promise to you guys. That's his promise to all of us. The second promise is that he adopts us as his children. He says, "I'm going to take you who didn't have a family in the spiritual sense, and you're going to be part of my family." God calls us his father. He calls us his children. Galatians 4 says this, that God sent Jesus so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So God sent Jesus for this purpose, that we might be adopted into his family, that we might have the Holy Spirit within us to bring us to the Lord, to call him Father, to have an intimate relationship with him. So that's why God Almighty can say to us, "You are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, and with you I'm well pleased." So see what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, because this is his promise to us in baptism. The third promise is that God promises that we will have authority over evil powers. That sin and evil once had authority over us, but no more when we're in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 says that the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and that we have the fullness of Christ in us. And because Jesus has all authority over the spirits of the world and over all evil, because he's been raised from the dead, when we have Jesus in us and when we are in him, we have that authority in our lives. That sin no longer has authority over us. Sin no longer has dominion over us. But we can say, "No more." We turn away from it. The fourth promise is that God promises that we now belong to the church. When we belong to God as his children, that means we belong to his family, which is the church. We are called members of the body of Christ here on earth. And if we belong to Christ in his body, we belong to one another, God tells us. 1 Corinthians 12 says that, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We're all made to drink of one spirit." So no matter who you are, no matter how different we are, Jews or Greeks are like as far apart as you can get. As slaves and free are as far apart as you can get. But when we're in Christ, we're one together. We're one family. We belong to one another. So these are the promises of God to us. And his promises never fail, that he will forgive us of our sins, that he will give us authority over evil, that he will adopt us as his children and bring us into his church. So this is what God is committing to you guys today. This is what God is committing to each one of us who are baptized each and every day. His promises for every one of us are true and never fail. But this new life also needs our participation and our commitment as well, our promises. So there are promises that we make to God in baptism, promises that you all are going to make today, promises that are true for each one of us, and good to be reminded for each one of us as we live into our baptism day by day. So our promises are to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. We promise to turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We promise to receive the Christian faith through Scripture. We promise to obey God's commands. Those are our promises. Quickly, I'm going to go through them. First, we promise to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm going to ask these guys a question about, do you renounce the flesh? That's sin in you, the sinful parts of you. And we say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the world and all of its desires that lead you away from God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the devil and all of his works? We renounce them. Because we say that to these enemies of our soul, we say, I want nothing to do with them anymore. They have no part of me. I have no part of them. And I'm turning away from them. This is what's called repentance in the Christian life. To say that these things don't have any claim on me anymore. And I'm turning away from them to turn towards Jesus. So the Christian life for all of us needs to be this daily renouncing the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those things that pull us away from Jesus so that we might more faithfully live in Jesus. That's our first promise. The second promise is that we promise to turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. To say that he's the Lord of my life, that he's in charge and I'm not. He's the boss and I'm not. That means I want to live my life submitting to him. To say that he's the one who is in charge. He gets to set the rules. He gets to set the standards and the terms of our relationship. And I can do that because I know that he is good. And that everything that I'm submitting to him is for my good. And for your good. So he's the Lord of our lives. That's what we're confessing and promising. We also promise that he's going to be our Savior. Knowing that we can't save ourselves, that we needed Jesus to save us by his grace that was poured out on the cross through his blood. That he is the Savior that we need all the time to rescue us. So the Christian life is always remembering this and giving him thanks. For being the one who saves us and for submitting our lives to him as our Lord. Our third promise is that we will promise to receive the Christian faith as it's been passed down to us. So do you guys know that before you've come here to be baptized, hundreds of generations of people before you have received this same blessing? They've received the Christian faith. This salvation has been passed down from ages to ages, century to century, generation to generation, to get to this point today. All the way from Jesus and his apostles, passing on the gospel message through Scripture of his saving love for you, comes right to you, right now. So this is something we receive, and it means that we're not making this up. We're receiving what's been passed down to us through Scripture and from the apostles. We receive the Christian faith. It means that we didn't invent it. We're not trying to fashion it into something that is more comfortable for our age, less offensive to our culture, but we're receiving it as it's been given to us. That means that it's been given to us through the Bible, through the Old and New Testaments, we're gonna say. That we believe that the Bible is God's word to us, and we're promising to make it an authority in our lives. So the fourth promise is then that we promise to obey God and his commandments. We're promising to try to live as God made us to live. Promising to try to live as to please him more than others, more than ourselves, with how we live and how we conduct our lives. And this is really important for us to promise, and really important for us to remember that this is part of the baptism that God is pouring out his love to you. So we don't promise to obey God so that he will love us. We know that he loves us. We know that he's given grace to us. So then we promise to obey him as a response to that. We promise to obey him because we want to, because he's been so good to us. So we never try to obey God so that we're going to be good enough for God. We never try to live good lives so that God will look on us and say, oh yeah, that person is pretty good. I'm going to accept them. We know that God accepts us. We know that God receives us, that he loves us. And so we want to try to live for him and obey him. So these are our promises to God in baptism, that we renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. We turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We promise to receive the Christian faith, and we promise to obey God in his commandments. So those are what we're promising today, what you guys are promising, what all of us have promised, and sometimes need to be reminded that we have promised this, and to live into those promises day by day. And here's the tough news. We're going to fail. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to forget about these promises. We're going to neglect them. And every time we do, God's promises don't fail. God's promises are always true, and they're always there for us. And he always wants to keep working on us. And God never gives up on us. And I wonder if some of us here maybe need to hear that today, that God never, ever gives up on us because his promises never fail. When he has promised to forgive you of your sins, they are washed away. When he has promised to call you his son, his daughter, that's who you are. Because the one who spoke all of creation into being and said, let there be light, there was light. The one who speaks his promises, you know they are true. You know they are good, and they will never, ever fail. So God is not giving up on you. God's promises will never fail you. And you can always rest in that, even when our promises fail. Even when we neglect to keep up our half of the relationship, his promises are always true for us to rest secure in. And there's other good news for us too. There's another help here. Because this baptism isn't just about me and God. There's another party who's making a promise here. It's the whole church is making a promise as part of this baptism. This is something that the whole church is participating in. And at some point in this service, as part of the baptism, I'm going to ask the entire congregation this question. And the entire congregation should listen here. I'm going to ask you, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons and their life in Christ? And you all will answer with great enthusiasm, we will. Right? That is a promise that every single person in this room is making to you today. Every single person is making a vow before God that we want to take very seriously. And that means for you five, do you know that every single person in this room is making that promise to you and to the Lord today? That means that you can count on every single person in this room to love you and support you and encourage you when you need it. I hope that we're all hearing this too, that if you've been baptized, the whole church has promised to uphold you, to keep you, to encourage and support you in your life in Christ, to do everything in our power to support you. That's true for every single one of us, a promise we have made to one another, a promise we receive from each one in this congregation. That's a promise that's true for each one of us because we need one another. We're a family together in Christ and we belong to one another in our baptism. So the promise of the whole church is to love you, to encourage you, to keep helping you grow in Jesus more and more. So this is the new life that we're invited into in baptism, where God makes promises to us. We make promises to him. The whole church makes a promise to support and uphold this new life. These are the promises that guard this life, that shape this life, and to help us flourish together. This is for all of us to live into each and every day. This is for these five in a very special way today. So let these promises be what shape our lives, by what encourage and uphold us when things are difficult. Like marriage vows, we can lean into these promises, especially when times get hard, to remind ourselves of what we're here for and to give us strength to keep going. So, and as we make all these promises today, as we witness and bear witness to the promises and give them ourselves, they start to shape our lives more and more. I want you guys especially today, but all of us here as well, to hear the Father's voice speaking over you. This is my beloved daughter, Willow. This is my beloved son, Jacob. My beloved son, Wyatt. My beloved daughter, Shayla. My beloved son, Zahir. With you, I am well pleased. Isn't that good news? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are invited into today. And we get to bear witness to you pouring out your grace and love upon these kids and to support them in their new life in Christ. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come and dwell among us. Come and be very present in this time. Make us aware of your presence. Make us aware of the holiness of what we're doing and the joy that is present in all of heaven, rejoicing at these beloved ones coming into your family. We give you praise, O Lord, and thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.